Hey there, I'm an animated Connor Walsh, which is kind of ironic because people say I'm pretty animated in real life. Anyway, welcome to Walsh Wednesday, my new slash old podcast. Let me explain. Back in high school in 2013, I was pressured by some friends to do an impromptu solo acoustic performance in my cafeteria. Believe it or not, people really took to it. And it turned into a monthly musical series I did through the rest of high school. Who said High School Musical wasn't realistic? By college, I turned Walsh Wednesday into a web series, focusing on interviews surrounding community events, charities, and local entertainment in the Hudson Valley and Capital Regions of New York. Walsh Wednesday spawned several spin-offs such as the Walsh Wednesday Concert Series, Walsh Wednesday Spotlights, and Walsh Wednesday The Reflective Series before its hiatus in 2021. After that, I spent the last 3 years working in radio, honing my craft, conducting unbelievable interviews, traveling to fascinating places, attending mind-blowing events, and meeting some of my personal heroes. Now, with the help of some awesome people I've met along the way, I'm bringing Walsh Wednesday back bigger and better than ever. Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Tonka Williams on Aortic Health Awareness, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you guys today. I've been blessed to meet these two wonderful women. We're going to be doing a lot of work together coming up. So to introduce them and to kind of really get our collaboration started, we're going to have them here on Walsh Wednesday. I'm going to be working with them for their podcast. Plus, you might see me on theirs a time or two as well. So with us, we have the women of the Vital Women of Washington Heights living in Dutchess County, sponsored by MHA of Dutchess County. You guys remember our last interview with Andrew O'Grady. They're also sponsoring us as well. With us today, we have the co-founders of the Vital Women, Yvette O'Sullivan and Iris Douglas. Guys, how are you?
Good. Hi.
Hi.
I know, and this is the first time having you guys in the Walsh Wednesday studio, so welcome, of course. But no, this is great to have you guys in, and I'm really excited about the work that y'all are doing. One with, of course, collaborating with MHA, but then the conversations that you guys are having. One of the main things, like with Walsh Wednesday, of course, we're big on arts and entertainment over here, but we're also big on motivation, inspiration, and empowerment. And that's really the heart of what you guys do, talking about women's empowerment, mental health, and also women's health, specifically menopause, things along those lines as well. I can't necessarily talk about that last part, but that's something I'd be happy to learn from you guys. But let's get into the origins of this a little bit. The Vital Women is something that you guys started relatively recently, and y'all also met relatively recently. This isn't like old-time friends getting together, making this happen. It was kind of like the universe coming together, pulling y'all together, and it's like, this just feels right. So who would like to kind of start off with how y'all met?
I guess I will get started. I'm very excited to be on your show today.
Thank you.
Well, you said it correctly. We were meant to meet. The universe had this lined up because I was doing, last year in 2024, I was doing a breast cancer awareness campaign. And I was being interviewed by La Voz, by Mariel Flory, and Iris happened to hear me on the radio. And I forget, Iris, at that point, we had not met at that point, or did we meet
point? No, we did meet. We had met. But I wasn't sure if it was you when I heard your voice on the radio.
So it's going to be approximately a year that we met in October at a networking meeting. And I went off to Florida during the winter. And then I started my awareness campaign. And I started the radio show with Mariel. And like Iris mentioned, she heard me on the radio. And that's how everything started from there. Because back in December, I was thinking, what kind of impact or how can I continue to help the community? I'm a retired social worker, Therefore, I have this big passion on working with women and children, and that's where my drive comes from. Therefore, I'm always thinking, what can I do? How can I help the community? And the idea of starting a podcast and the idea of starting the menopause awareness, it was all there in my head until I had the conversation with Iris and we started to collaborate together.
That's awesome. Iris, do you want to give your perspective on it all?
Yeah, it was a Sunday morning and I was on my way to the wellness center and I heard Yvette on the radio and she was talking about menopause and I was like, "Oh my gosh, she's so on point. She's so on point at what she's talking about because it's been challenging, you know, especially history in my family." So I was just kind of cheering her on and then I get home that evening and I see a text from Yvette and I'm like, she's like, "I'd like to talk to you about something." And this is how it was birthed. This is how it was manifested. It was just two women that met, felt something, and then connected, you know, energetically. And I'm very happy because we are definitely talking the right talks and meeting the right people.
No, that's
so
awesome.
So I am really grateful.
And we have a few things in common because Iris and I grew up in the same neighborhood of Washington Heights in Manhattan. However, we did not know each other back then.
And that's kind of crazy, too, to think like y'all were in the same circles on the same streets, didn't meet then, but you met here all these years later. Absolutely. That really is insane, actually.
Literally 10 blocks away, but with the same culture, the same energy of the neighborhood and the community. And I think that's why we kind of sort of like hang out and kind of like hanging out is because we have a lot of remembrance of how it used to be. And but with that said, that's why we're called the Vital Women of Washington Heights, because we've been through a lot of diversity and a lot of changes, a lot of ups and downs. And yeah, I'm excited to create more with Yvette. So thank you.
Incredible. Yeah. I always find it very interesting when I meet somebody with a similar background as myself, like say I'm out, especially like when I was in college, say I met another Hudson Valley person. It's like, "Oh my God, you're from the Hudson Valley." Or they see my phone number. It's like 845, 845. Oh my God. Like something like that. It's incredible how such a little thing, or it feels little in the moment, but how big that is of a connection, and it can start a friendship. It can start a collaboration. It's really empowering to see. And then to have that similar level of nostalgia and remembrance and upbringing, that really makes a difference in kind of making that synthesis even faster and so much easier. So you guys started the Vital Women earlier this year. You guys started with a few episodes. You guys want to talk about some of the conversations that you had in the first wave, and then we can start talking about what the second wave is going to look like moving forward. But what's that first wave looking like, those conversations?
The first wave of conversations was just bringing on women that had something to talk about regarding menopause. You know, we wanted to bring that awareness that just because you're processing menopause, you have to realign yourself, you know, with better foods, better mindsets, better exercise, better conversations. Yvette has a beautiful way of explaining things when it comes with hormone treatment versus non-hormone treatment. So that was our first wave. Our second wave is going to look like more entrepreneurships conversation, talking about helping women in business. We feel very connected with that. And just bringing on more women that can definitely have better conversations on how do you stay beautiful? How do you stay happy and healthy during the process of menopause, energetically and with hormone treatment, whichever way works. But those are the conversations and the awarenesses that we want to bring.
Definitely a lot of different perspectives of it.
Exactly.
Which is good, because it's not just a narrow way of looking at things. It's really exploring a wide variety of it. Yvette, do you have anything that you want to add to that, what Iris was saying?
Well, as part of the second wave, we're also going to begin to collaborate with some male perspective and some male figures that we want to bring onto the show to start to explore how they can contribute to the balance that we need to function in society as men and women.
No, I think that's really important. There's a number of influencers I follow online that definitely talk about the interrelationship men and women and what we lack at times, the stereotypes of what we miss. And I know I've learned a lot from it. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, I've been with my girlfriend for 3 years and there's stuff that I'm always learning and adapting and trying to be respectful of. And, it's funny because there are times it's like, she goes, "This doesn't weird you out. This doesn't like scare you off." And I'm like, "No, so much of what you're talking about or what you're fearful of is natural. I'm okay with it." But I also know I also know that in my case, I'm pretty open-minded to so many things. While not everybody is, I feel, you know, the way I try to approach things is to be curious, not judgmental. So that's how I go. But the more awareness you can bring to something, the more curious people can hopefully get, and you can erode some of those walls that people have on certain topics. So yeah, getting the men involved too, one, helps give that perspective, but also gives the guests the perspective is like, oh, I didn't know that. And hopefully they move forward as well. Same for the listeners, all of y'all out there. It's a matter of learning. It's a matter of growing that community. And I know that you guys are doing that. So let's talk about your main sponsor, of course, and also the person that got us together, Andrew O'Grady, MHA of Dutchess County. Funny story with all that. I went to high school with his daughter, but when we did our interview, we had no idea about that connection. It wasn't until afterwards, because it was a family friend that connected us. It's like, oh, Andrew would be great for your show. Had him on the show. And then it was afterwards, Kayla sees the episode and it's like, hey, Dad, you know that guy was at my Sweet 16, right? So small world, didn't know. But yeah, talk to me about Andrew O'Grady and working with him and how MHA is helping you guys.
We are community partners with Andrew, my husband and I. He rents a home that we own to use for his program, kind of like a safe house. Oh, and nice. We've been doing this, I want to say maybe for the last 4 or 5 years. And in the interim of developing that business relationship, we became personal friends. Yeah. And him and my husband, they attend a lot of golfing events. And through that relationship, you know that a lot of business takes place at the golf course. I started to mention to my husband, well, I want to do this. Do you think that Andrew might be interested if I approach him with that type of conversation? And he is such a great sport and has such a big heart that he's like, I'm open. Let's have a meeting. Let's discuss this. And in the meeting, that's how we formed the collaboration of starting the Vital Women, of collaborating and bringing also one of the new things you mentioned earlier. What is the second wave of how Vital Women is evolving? It's also bringing menopause into the workplace. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that project at the moment, and we're very excited about that, how everything is going to look like. And I have a loss for words. And the reason that I have a loss for words is because 4 years ago, I did not see myself where I am today. And I hope I don't get emotional. Sometimes I tend to get emotional when I think back of 4 years ago, how overwhelmed I felt and how stressed I felt because of what was going on with COVID.
Yes.
And I had entered the changes in my life of my menopause journey. And during that journey, I kind of found myself feeling depressed and thinking, okay, this is it. My career is going to end. I don't know what to do with myself. How do I move forward? And now that is 2025, I have all this vision and I see it manifesting itself and I'm so excited about it. Yeah. And sometimes I feel I'm in awe because I'm like, wow, you know, sometimes we can be in a certain place and time in life thinking this is it. And then life continues.
Yeah. Life finds a way.
Life finds a way.
Right. Do you have anything you want to add to that as well?
Well, yeah, I want to say that Yvette has also opened a lot of doors, and she keeps forgetting to talk about what she's done. And I think that because of Abriendo Puertas and your social work skills and everything that you've done for the Wappingers Falls community has brought you here. I feel like this is a blessing for us because I'm blessed to have the opportunity to work with someone like Andrew and bring something to mental health.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been a victim family with mental health, and I'm just, you know, I just want to share whatever helped me, you know, with the facilitators as well, because that's something that we're going to be doing. We're going to be working with the facilitators at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. And I think it would be nice. It's going to be amazing. You and I bringing workshops and conversations on how do you stay good? How do you stay happy when you're dealing with somebody that's not that happy? Yeah. You know, because the facilitators also have emotions and that energy can affect them. So I'm excited to see what she and I are going to cook up.
Oh, so am I. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
And something big that you were talking about, and I feel like this has been a theme in a lot of recent Walsh Wednesday episodes, some that will be out soon, some will be out later. The kind of that starting over and like what can happen in a certain amount of time, how you were saying four or five years ago, of course, pandemic, rough time. But that feeling of, yeah, what do I do now? Is like this chapter's ending. Is there anything left? But finding so much more to do, so much more growth in ideas and energy to move forward. I was speaking to an individual, Andy Scullin, who works for Metroland now up in the Capital Region. He has his own show as well. And he was talking about originally, like 20 years ago when he started on the radio and this and that happened. But all like these huge things that he's so, so proud of really happened in the last 3 years for him. So, and you know, he's in his 50s and he's saying, like, I still feel so young. I still feel so vibrant. I feel like I have so much to give. And I never would have expected that in my middle age. But he's doing such great things. And just as you guys are as well, y'all had careers, y'all had done all these things. And now it's like, wow, here you are continuing on and creating new programs. So let's talk about that. I feel like that's something that's important with a lot of the people that you're talking to as well, the new lives or the new chapters in their lives. How do you feel your, how do you feel like your chapters have brought you here, and how are you excited to showcase other people's chapters?
That's what we're actually doing, that because while we interview people, they're elevating their chapters as we are elevating our chapters. So it's like almost a synchronicity, like we're helping others, but also we're helping each other. So we're, I'm excited. As far as business, you know, I was in business for about 2.5 years and I learned a few things, and that's how I want to also help people with their chapter. If they're interested in entrepreneurship or interested in any branding, I can, you know, I can help that. And Yvette is like, she's a great support when we have these conversations about entrepreneurship, because Miss Yvette is also an entrepreneur. She makes amazing hats. So it's, yeah, we're here to change people's chapters as we're changing our chapter. You know, it's a give and take.
Yeah. Well, I believe that there's a stigma about midlife. Because a lot of the time society thinks, okay, you have entered that time or that journey in your life and your prime is over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a beginning. A word that we like to use a lot, Iris and I, is metamorphosis.
Because you
can take that pause and you can reflect on what you've done in the past and how you want to use that experience and move forward and grow and begin.
Yeah.
And that's what midlife is about. And a lot of great ideas can be shared, your experience, and bring it all together and just go with the flow. That's a word that Iris uses a lot, and I'm using it because it just gives you this vision of relaxing and taking a leap of faith and just going for it and see what works and what's not working and make changes.
Absolutely.
And take that risk in life.
Absolutely. You know, there are so many people who spend the first half of their lives doing something because they feel they have to. They have certain responsibilities. Responsibilities are thrust onto them. And by the time you get to midlife, sometimes that's an opening. It was like, wow, I can actually start doing things for me, or I can start doing the passion things for me, because maybe you laid down the groundwork, or maybe some of those responsibilities are no longer on your shoulders anymore. You know, I take my mom as an example. You know, she's in her early 60s right now. In the last 8 years, she was a caregiver for my grandparents. That took up her whole life for almost a decade there.
Yes.
So she went from being, you know, an IBMer to a caregiver. And now here she is, you know, midlife, and she's, I remember having a lot more of these conversations before my grandparents passed. It's like, she was saying, what am I going to do with myself afterwards? Like, this is what I've been doing for so long, caring for my parents. But, you know, and of course, God rest my grandparents' souls and everything, it was well past their time. And thank God they're no longer suffering. Mom's been getting out there and like rediscovering life.
Absolutely.
And it's been so cool to see. Most of the time, I'm always the one, like, we're talking. I'm like, Mom, I'm so sorry. I have this. I got to run. She did that to me the other day, and I was like, I was so applauding her, because she's like, Connor, I love talking, but I got to go run. I'm meeting up with so-and-so, and I'm like, I love this.
Good
I'm
for
so
her.
Proud of you. And like, it's been happening more and more, like fireworks, concerts, movies, just things like that. And, you know, so much more is to come, but I feel like my mom is a great example of what you're saying along with this as well. Maybe if we can coax her a little bit, maybe she can tell her story on your show or something.
Absolutely. We would love to have her on our show.
Yeah, because 10 years a caregiver, a lot to talk about.
It's not.
Saw a lot of compassion.
A lot of compassion.
A lot of compassion, a lot of patience. Mm-hmm. I did it with my mom, my grandmother, and my father.
See, you know. Absolutely.
Yes. A lot of compassion, a lot of love and patience and selflessness. You can't be selfish. You give it all up to, like, whatever. You know, you're not trying to go to a movie on a date when your grandmother's in the hospital, your father's
it's
not
tough.
Feeling well. You know, it's like, it's not happening. So I get your mom.
Yeah.
She's living her vida loca now.
Yes, she is. No, she's figuring it out. Yeah. Absolutely.
Most people in middle age, they have become the caretaker of their parents.
Yeah.
And trying to balance that and everything else in life it's not easy. It takes a toll. And I'm so happy for your mother that now she is working on finding herself, reinventing herself. It's a very exciting time.
It is an exciting time. And, you know, not to mention, like, since my grandmother's passing is still recent, they still have that, still the grieving process. But also at the same time, it has been good to see the pros and the cons with it. Iris, you said about compassion and patience. And yes, that is something key in caregiving. But I feel like that is key in what you guys are doing here, putting together the Vital Women, not just the podcast, but also the programs that you want to work on with myself, with Andrew, with all these guys. Talk about that level of compassion and patience that you're hoping to bring to the community and hoping to see get to see be adopted by the community. What are you hoping with those values?
I feel that sometimes, you know, when people are in the workplace or dealing with their everyday life, we tend to move so quickly. And in moving so quickly, we forget to have compassion and patience, not only for our coworkers or people that we may run into throughout the day, but also for ourselves. And it's very important to have those two values, because we experience so much in life that can be thrown at us, and sometimes we don't know how to balance or how to process what's happening. And when we take a moment, I spoke about taking a pause and processing, then you deal with things with grace.
No, I think that's beautifully said. Absolutely. We are in a world where everything is happening at rapid speed. You know, before you got here, when Iris and I were talking, I specifically mentioned moments where I take for myself, where my mind is going a million miles a minute. And I feel like that is a lot of people these days. And since we were talking about that, Iris, do you want to bring up anything of like what we were talking about a second ago of like that grounding?
Yeah, it's the energy. I mean, you know, it's like you know, it's like when I go out sometimes and I leave a little early sometimes, just because the energy is too much. We are energetic beings. We have, you know, when you walk into a room and there's a lot of energy, I get all electrified. And it's a balance. Go to the bathroom. Go get some agua, you know. So we have to learn to reset our mindset and reset our whole alignment. By just taking a moment and just stretching on the floor and just grabbing or taking a deep breath in, closing your eyes, or listening to something meditative, you can reset everything.
We were also saying yoga in front of the TV because you and I can't sit still.
I can't sit still. And my husband's like, what's going on? I'm like, yo, I got to down dog down because I cannot sit still. I have to move constantly. But that's another thing. When you get, you're still young, Connor, but when you get over 50, if you sit on that couch too long, your bones, your muscles are going to hurt.
I can feel it now already. Like, I don't like sitting for too long because I do feel those things. I'm in the car a lot too. So like, I make sure to stop and walk around, stretch my legs, or that, or if I know that I have a day where I'm going to be constantly in the car, I make sure that I have a little bit longer time in the gym, like the next day or coming up, just to be able to really stretch, move my body, do things along those lines.
Body talks to you, so listen to it, because then you'll know when you have to release some tension. That's what yoga, breath work, and meditation, and Reiki. You know, Reiki is a very healing modality that calms people's nervous system. So yeah, you got to reset your mindset in order for you to move on, you know, onward.
That's where the holistic approach comes in, combining it with menopause, because both men and women need to be informed and educated about menopause, but at the same time, understand the holistic approach with the movement and what the body needs.
Absolutely. You know, I really started looking into and getting into holisticism when around the time of the pandemic, because I was in a sense of being lost, but it really helped me to find a sense of mindfulness there, and really kind of it gelled with me. Like the concepts and a lot of the practices for me was like, oh, I get this. This makes sense, where a lot of things for a while, or at least things that I grew up with, is like, it's not doing it, or it's just not making sense, or I'm not connected to it. So that's why I really love the fact that you guys bring in all these different perspectives, so that, you know, whoever's listening in a given moment, it's like, just like kind of we all had our journeys, be like, oh, I click with that. That sounds like something I can get into and hopefully build upon and grow. I think that's the best way of moving forward with it, and I think that's great. So as we're wrapping up this episode, we are definitely not wrapping up our work together. We're only just getting started. So you'll be seeing me pop up or hear me every once in a while with them, and you'll see them over here as well. So we're going to have a good mix of stuff, great collaboration ahead. But as we're wrapping up, do you both have any last little nuggets that you want to share with the Walsh Wednesday listening audience? Could be about the show, could be about mental health, could be about anything. Any last little nuggets that you guys are looking to share?
We'd like to say that we all need reminders, and you brought up compassion. We all need to remind ourselves and the people around us that we love, that we need to have compassion for them, and they need to have compassion for us.
I think that's a great reminder, and reminder to all of you guys right there. Absolutely. Iris, how about yourself?
Self-love.
You know, when you connect with yourself and you know what your purpose is, you're going to have a better life.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, it's like, it's hard to pour from your glass if you have nothing in it.
Dude, absolutely. Yeah. How can I give you if I'm not giving me?
Exactly.
You can. It's not, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And give a little bit of something to yourselves. Listen to the Vital Women of Washington Heights living in Dutchess County. They have great stuff coming up real, real soon. Really excited about the conversations that I've witnessed that they have all had, going through editing older conversations and starting the new ones with them. So really excited. We'll have all the links and information in the description of this episode, so that you can listen and support them just like you listen and support Walsh Wednesday. Guys, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure.
I'm Connor.
I'm Yvette.
I'm Iris.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
Beautiful. And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
Adversity and stress. How do you cope? I'm dealing with a voice issue right now, my own adversity and stress. So let's use AI Andy for the rest of this message. Take it away, AI Andy.
This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at MHA of Dutchess County. We all move on a scale of mental wellness. It can shift minute by minute, hour by hour, based on what we face. What happens when it piles on? How do you cope? Do you turn to the bottle or vape? Do you medicate with pills not prescribed for that purpose? Do you become short-tempered and argue with others? Are you quick to road rage? These are self-defeating and negative reactions, and they're unhealthy and can lead to self-inflicted further stress. There's no shame in seeking to improve you by engaging in self-care with a therapist. If you do not know where to start, talk to your primary care physician. You can always contact Mental Health America of Dutchess County at 845-473-2500, and if we don't have a specific program to help you, we will help guide you to one.
Thanks, AI Andy. You sound pretty good.
Thanks, Andrew and AI Andy. Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
September will be Aortic Disease Awareness Month. To prepare us for September, we have a message from nurse leader and health advocate, Tonka Williams.
Peace and blessings, family. I am Tonka Williams, a proud Black woman, a nurse, and your advocate for cardiovascular health and wellness. We're going to talk about something that's quietly claiming the lives of too many of us in the Black community. Aortic disease. The aorta is your body's largest artery. When it weakens or tears, it's just not a health issue. It's an emergency. And the painful truth, many of us have never heard of it before. And if we have, we don't always know the signs or how to protect ourselves. That ends today. This isn't just about personal health. It's about protecting our families and building a future where our people thrive. Advocacy is our inheritance. Learn the signs. Get your pressure checked. Ask your doctor about your aortic. Talk to your family. This is how we protect our legacy. My heart, my health, my power. Stay safe, stay strong, and stay here with us. Thank you, and may you walk in health, purpose, and power.
For additional information, please visit the John Ritter Foundation website, johnritterfoundation.org. And please check out the full video at Tonka Williams' YouTube channel, at Tonka Williams-Aortic-Awareness. Up next, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications.
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Woman-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards, it's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday.
Now for a quick word from Dutchess Beer Distributors. Throughout the month of August, Dutchess Beer Distributors, in collaboration with Stella Artois, is hosting the Mid-Hudson Valley's Perfect Serve Shuffleboard Showdown. Visit one or more of Dutchess Beer Distributors' pop-up promotions to play games and win prizes at some of your favorite restaurants and bars in Dutchess and Ulster counties. You can see the list of locations in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Tonka Williams on Aortic Health Awareness, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you guys today. Now, I met this individual through the fitness community here in the Hudson Valley, but today we are talking about the veteran community here in the Hudson Valley. I'm really happy to be speaking with her. We actually had an interview around this time last year, back when I was at the radio station, and I'm so happy to have her on now because this is an incredible event. We're here representing Rocky's Ruck for Johnny Cake. It's the anniversary of John Rocky Casciagano's death on September 6th, and the whole event is benefiting Guardian Revival, which provides various arts and adventure services for veterans, not to mention providing service dogs. That's huge. I could go on the description of it all, but I think it's best if we hear it from the creator herself. With us, we have daughter of Rocky Casciagano. We have Alyssa Casciagano-Masca. Alyssa, how are you?
Good. I'm good. Great. How are you?
Doing all right. So obviously, this event must be so bittersweet to do. Naturally, it is like your hero. This is your father. But at the same time, you're honoring him. And as you've seen through the years, just it's become a bigger and bigger celebration. So that's so impactful. So for anybody who has no idea what this event is and they've never heard of a ruck, can you explain what this Rocky's Ruck for Johnny Cake is?
Yeah, absolutely. So John Casciagano was my father. Rocky was his service dog. So when he passed, I wanted to figure out a way that we can commemorate him and really honor him and just kind of carry his legacy, plus all the other veterans in the community, how we can support them. So thus brought Rocky's Ruck for Johnny Cake. A ruck is a military style walk with weighted vests. You can do it with backpacks filled with all their gear that they would normally carry around. And you walk typically within the military. It's a very strenuous walk that they have to do. And again, in order to commemorate him and honor him, he was a Marine in the Marine Corps in the Vietnam War. And it felt like a really good practice to partner a ruck with his anniversary and just try to get as many people involved as we can. So essentially, we walk from Wappinders Rural Cemetery through the War Memorial on Myers Corners in Wappinders, and it's a 5-mile ruck for everybody.
And I think that's really cool because one thing that's really nice about this and something I feel like I've talked about a lot recently on the show is stepping into the shoes of somebody else and doing a ruck like this. You're stepping into the shoes of our military service members. And when you have that, you know, there can be a disconnect from the general community versus the veteran community. The veteran community, very tight knit. They know what they've been through together, but, you know, a civilian doesn't realize the things that they all have to go through. And a ruck is a very, I think when it comes to it, a very basic introduction to what that is. And it's not easy. It certainly isn't easy, but to be able to put yourself into their shoes is such an important thing. So as we were saying right before getting on the mic, this is third year that this is going on. So let's talk about the legacy of this. Run me through the first year, run me through the second year, and what we're expecting for the third year now.
Sure. So initially, we really started launching it out to my local gym community, really within, the gym that I work for, the CrossFit gym that I coach for. Formerly it was Lobo Fit, now it's Raise the Bar CrossFit, but just started out with the community there and really just partnering with everybody saying, hey, we're going to do this event if you'd love to come. But then we wanted to figure out how we can raise money and get more people involved. So we partnered with local charities. So this one we're doing, Guardian Revival is our partnership. And I said, you know what, let's figure out how we can tie this all in together. So Guardian Revival, they have a Boots and Paws program out of all their extensive programs that they have. And through that program, they provide a service dog to veterans for every $5,000 that's raised. So that became the goal. Let's raise $5,000. Let's sponsor a dog for a veteran. And that would just be a great accomplishment. So that's really how it started. And the gym community has been so supportive. They showed up on the day of the event. We really didn't have like t-shirts or anything then. We just had these bracelets that we were giving out.
Oh, nice.
It's like a little thank you to everybody. So everybody that came, we just handed out a bracelet. And then you start seeing them, like for the members that were coming in and working out, you start seeing them wearing them. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool that they're still wearing them. So at the first year, it was about maybe 20 people. And it was just great. By the end of it, we were like, wow, this feels so accomplishing, or we feel so accomplished. Through the village of Wappenders, there was actually an officer that kept driving by us the first year. And eventually he stopped and he was like, what are you guys doing? We're like, oh, we're just raising money and we're raising awareness. We're supporting the focus on PTSD and how we can best support. And he was like, how are you guys going to get across Route 9? We were like, yeah, we're just going to kind of wing it and like see what happens. So he was so amazing. He stopped traffic. He like made sure that nobody was coming. He directed us all across and we're like, wow, that was great. Thank you so much. And you start to see some heads turn in traffic. They're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So that was the first year. It was a great, we ended up raising a little bit less than, we raised $6,000 that year. So
oh, wow.
That was
there
the first
you go.
Year. Yeah.
You got over so the then, five. Fantastic.
Exactly. So then last year, we're like, okay, let's put a little bit more into this. Let's start advertising it a little bit earlier on. Let's really talk with Guardian Revival and see what we can do. And then we had t-shirts made and we were like, let's just raise some extra money. So again, we ended up raising over $5,000, for the fundraiser. And then the Boots and Paws program, they actually came to the start of the event last year with two of their service dogs and wow. They kind of gave us like a really nice send off, like great, good luck guys. We're so appreciative of you. And it was so cool to see, like, this is the end goal. Like this is what you are able to provide to a veteran. So the town of Wappenders was gracious enough to lend us an officer for the whole ruck. And he guided us through. He escorted us the entire way. Some people they would stop and they would say things. And he was like making sure that everybody was being appropriate and not saying anything rude.
Yeah.
And then as we went down, this is really like the turning point. As we went down Myers, first of all, I mean, again, like we look around and what grew from like 20 people, we had about like 35 participants last year.
Heck yeah.
And as we're going down Myers Corners, all of a sudden we start to see people coming out of their house and they're like clapping, they're applauding. And we're like, how did they know we were coming? Like, what? This is crazy. Cause it was just started out as an internal thing within the gym and with our friends and family.
Yeah.
And then, people are screaming Semper Fi, they're waving their military flags. There's a couple of Marines that came out and it was like so moving. And I'm like, this is incredible. We get to the end and there was a group of people there clapping and cheering us on. And the Joey Cavicini from
he's the town supervisor.
Supervisor. And then Elizabeth Dunleary, she was there. She partnered with the veterans department and her and my mom had gotten connected and they just started to spread the word. Connor, we showed up and they were just like clapping and cheering us on. And I started crying as I'm like walking. I'm like, this is incredible. This is just amazing. So afterwards, we had conversations with Elizabeth and she said, listen, next year, we'd really like to get involved. Joey was very supportive of it. He said, let us know next year when you're going to do this, we're going to make this thing big.
Nice.
And yeah. And then this year, like I just reached out and just said, hey, we're starting the Rock again this year. And they were both so quick. We got this. We're going to advertise it. This is in the Wappenders Hero Banner program. We're just here to support it. So I'm really excited to see what the turnout's like this year.
Yeah, no, that's going to be really impressive. The Wappenders community, I keep finding, is just such a beautiful, supportive community. And, working with Joey on a number of things myself and just seeing how everything works down there, it's really impressive. It's really impressive. And it's so sweet. And now I just want to make sure that listeners get this idea. You had no idea that those people were going to be there at the end. It was like, that was just, as you said, your mom was working on that, word of mouth, things started growing. That wasn't planned, or at least you didn't plan it. That was just this spontaneous, beautiful thing that just happened when community comes together, right?
Yes, yes. And that's what was so incredible about it. It just, you know, yes, we want to raise as many funds as possible, but it was more so bringing the awareness to what we were doing and just having that like insight. It was just incredible. You know, big thanks to my mom, because she just loves to talk to people. And, you know, so she ended up connecting with Elizabeth and they got into the conversation. I think it was the Music in the Park they met at when they do it at Schlotthouse Park.
Yep.
And then just from there that it just continued to grow. And yeah, I was so thankful for it. It was really moving.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I might've mentioned the date quickly, but I want to make sure that we shout out when and where this is all starting for this year. So could you give those details, please?
Sure, sure. So this year we are doing it on Saturday, September 6th, which is actually the anniversary of my dad's passing. We always try to do it around that anniversary, but this year it happened to actually fall on a Saturday. So September 6th at 9 a.m., we'll be kicking off at the Wappingers Rural Cemetery. That's where we start the ruck, and then we go through the village across Route 9 down Myers Corners. It should take about 2 hours, and we should be finishing around 11 o'clock. What's really great about this year's event is after the finish line, Guardian Revival is actually going to be at the finish line awarding 2 service dogs to 2 veterans.
Oh,
so
wow.
They're going to do that live time, which is really great. So
That's
if we can
incredible.
Raise $5,000 this year, then we'll be able to sponsor one of them, which is awesome. But either way, there's 2 veterans. I get 2 service dogs this year.
That's, oh my God, that's so, so cool. Yeah, yeah, for 3 years, like it's really grown up. That's really impressive. Before Rocky's Ruck, of course. So what is this? About a week earlier or so, you're actually having kind of like another fundraiser kickoff kind of thing, kind of part of it, kind of separate. It's still fun. It's all part of the fitness community and it's getting the attention and some money raised for Rocky's Ruck. Can you tell us about this real quick?
Sure, absolutely. So Raise the Bar CrossFit, which is located right on Route 9 next to Nuts, formerly Lobo Fit, now it's Raise the Bar. We're going to be hosting a fundraising workout event. So details still to come. So please check out the Raise the Bar CrossFit Instagram page. Probably be around 9 o'clock, the 9 and 10 a.m. We'll just be doing a workout. You can come and buy some t-shirts for Rocky's Ruck for Johnny Cake. You can come and do the workout and just donate money through there. We'll have a couple of raffles. Hopefully some vendors will be stopping by as well. But it's just a fun day to get involved in the community again. Come work out first thing in the morning and also meet a great CrossFit community.
There you go. That's awesome. And with the t-shirts, of course, how much is that going for? And will the t-shirts also be available the day? So it's going to be available at this fundraiser ahead of time and at the Ruck as well?
Yes, that's correct. Yep. So we'll have t-shirts available August 30th at the fundraising workout event, and they're for $30. And then we'll also have them available at the beginning of the ruck and at the end, assuming there's some left. So we'll have them available for both, and $30 is the going price.
There you go. Well, hopefully we can get them all sold before the event even starts. So that way everybody's all good and in uniform for this. So
that
terrific.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So let's talk about the service dog aspect. Your dad had a service dog, Rocky, and based on what you were able to see from that experience, how do you feel that Rocky influenced your dad's life?
Rocky was my dad's best friend. As much as I want to say it was me, Rocky was definitely my dad's best friend. My dad, he was in the Vietnam War. He was in the Marine Corps. He never really talked about his experience. You know, I'd ask him questions, but you never really know what to ask, what's appropriate, what's going to raise, some bad memories. So he was very, very sheltered around it. Like he just didn't have that expressive communication. But he's a very like stone cold man, but you know, with a heart of gold, of course. But when you see him with Rocky, like he just would light up. He would play with him. He would like talk to him in his little dog voice, and you know, he was always buying him toys, and just he was always by his side. You know, my dad had a lot of physical ailments and a lot of conditions that really prevented him from living his life the way that he should have been able to live it. Mm-hmm. But when Rocky was right by his side, every picture that we have, my dad, Rocky's right at his feet, right? Rocky's right at his side. If my dad's laying on the couch, he had his hand on him. And I think he just brought him a sense of peace that we couldn't bring him because, you know, it's something that we weren't able to share his experience, of course, but Rocky was just his companion. He loved him dearly. And Rocky actually, when we started this ruck, the goal was to have Rocky walk the ruck with us. And he ended up passing away the same year my dad did. And I'm convinced it was because of a broken heart. It was because of heart failure. But yeah, he just brought such light to my dad. And I think that that's what's so important and why I love this event so much, because we can bring that to somebody else. You may look at somebody and say like, you know, what do they need a service dog for? Like they seem fine, but you know, on our shirts, we have the PTSD flag and it says not all wounds are visible. And unfortunately, that's what my dad passed because of was, you know, he lost his battle with PTSD and it ended up taking over him. And if we can raise awareness to what a service dog can do for somebody and how much it can support them. Again, not all wounds are visible. You're not always going to be able to see what somebody's going through, but I feel honored to be able to do my part and try to support somebody else who may be battling something.
No, I hear you 100% on that. And it really is a wonderful connection that one can have with a pet, with a service animal. And I've seen many a times with my own family and own friends, somebody passes away. Well, you know, the dog or cat or whatever passes away shortly after. They got to be there with their person. You know, it's a very important bond. And I know how emotional this is for you and how strenuous it can be at times, especially as things are going through it. And feel free to not answer this question if you don't want to, or answer it however that you want. But since this is in honor of your dad, honoring him and giving awareness to the PTSD that he had, I think people who aren't around it don't quite understand what somebody's going through. So as his daughter, as a family member, what was it like as he was going through these PTSD episodes? Obviously you can't speak for him, but as a loving family member, what was that like from your perspective?
Honestly, during it, it's hard to identify, you know, and it depends on the person and their level of help that they're looking for, if they are. You know, unfortunately, my dad was not open to it. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of suffering that he went through that we were not aware of. A lot of dreams that came out at night that, you know, we would hear him waking up and talking to them, or speaking to them rather, and you ask him what's wrong, what happened, and he wouldn't share with you, but you could kind of put the pieces together. But it was hard, but looking back, there was definitely things that I should have identified. Like knowing my dad and just knowing the things that weren't right around that time. It was also hard, you know, it was 5 weeks before my wedding. And that it was hard because, again, like, that's such an exciting time. And then, you know, I have a lot of regret because I'm like, I feel like I should have been paying more attention to him. But there's a lot of times too, like, I talk to my mom about it. I talk to my brother. I talk to my husband. My husband he's a godsend because he's a military veteran as well. He was in the Army. And there's a lot that I talk to him about when I'm kind of like rehashing the moment and battling my own thoughts about what happened. And he helps me through so much of it. He's like, Alyssa, you know, you can't always see it. You have to just be there in every way that you can. And that's it. And for anybody who is going through the same thing and whoever's battling their own internal battles, there are people who are willing to listen. And though they may not understand, there's always a shoulder to just lean on, whether it's somebody to talk to and not say anything, or, you know, I think the times that I really wasn't asking my dad questions is probably when he was feeling the best about it, because it wasn't bringing up things. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to identify, but you can see certain signs. So I just wish that I was there a little bit more for him. But again, knowing my dad, he wouldn't talk about a lot of things because he didn't want us to know, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that I found with definitely experiences in my family, the people who served were just kind of there, and it was more like a boys club for them, they told all the stories. But those who served, you don't hear any of those stories. Exactly. You don't hear any of that.
Yeah, that's such a strong statement too, because there's a lot of truth behind it. And again, everybody's experience and stories are different, and share what you're willing to share, of course. But when you've seen certain things, it's not something that you want to live through every day. You don't want to rehash that. You don't want to remember it.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. You know, it's hard to comprehend as a civilian, as somebody who's never gone through that. It is very hard to comprehend. So to be able to have this ruck and have this to honor your father, honor the veteran community, I think that is so, so big. So obviously, when this all happened, as you said, this was around the time of your wedding. That's very, very tough. Now, this year, though, this celebration is also around the time of a new inclusion in the family. I just want to say congratulations on being a mom and everything. How's that feel to now have a new member of the family and just, you know, add to the whole legacy of this?
You know, I'm thinking of something that's, as you just said that, you know, it was a couple weeks before my wedding, and now his anniversary. My daughter was born a couple weeks before his anniversary. So, I mean, where life ends, like life begins. And to be able to like welcome my daughter into this and have her be a part of it, it's incredible. You know, I wish nothing more that she could have met my dad in person, but like, I'm a huge believer. Like, I know she met him in heaven, and I know that like he was with her like every step of the way, and with me too. I had a really troubling delivery story, and just knowing like my dad was there with me, with my daughter, and it was just incredible. But yeah, I look forward to having her in this moment where she's in a carrier, she's in a stroller, she's with us on the ruck, even if, you know, she ends up sitting with my mom at the end, like she'll be there. Yeah. But then like next year she'll be older and she'll be able to be a part of this. And it's like her being able to celebrate her grandpa, and she, like, it'll be from the beginning of her life, which is just incredible.
That, which is really cool. And she'll grow up like physically seeing, it's like, hey, my grandpa was a hero. Yeah, and that's pretty cool. That's really cool. I'm excited, like 10 years from now, like when, you know, she can remember everything, can hopefully do some of the walking and be really a part of it. I'm excited to see that day as well. But it's really cool the way it is right now. As you said, where one life ends, life begins, and it's just this constant cycle. And yeah, this is the legacy that we move forward with. So with all that being said, it's going to be a fun day. It's going to be a celebration. Fingers crossed for good weather. We want all that. It should be good. Early September is always a beautiful time. Is there anything specifically more about the event that you want to let our listeners know about and what people can expect? And even if you're not able to do the ruck by any means or anything like that, how can you still contribute?
Sure. So to your point, like if you don't have to participate, sorry. My dog's getting involved. You don't have to participate in the ruck in order to just be a part of the event. You can do, you can go to Guardian Revival, go to the Boots and Paws program and search for Rocky's Ruck for Johnny Cake. It's also posted on the Town of Wappinder's Facebook page, the Wappinder's Hero Banner program page. It's all posted on there. You can scan and donate. But again, you know, whereas we started doing it because we wanted to raise all the funds possible, which is obviously still the goal, it's more so about raising awareness now. And even just being there to support us as we cross that finish line just means so much. And, you know, it's not just for my dad, it's for every veteran, every first responder, and every way. Anybody who falls in the category of a guardian, I think that that's what's important, is just bringing that awareness to it, showing that we support our community, showing that we have the ability to all stand together no matter what is standing in our way, like no matter what we're facing. So yeah, so donations would be fantastic. The support of the day would be great too. Even if you want to just come to the beginning and wish us luck, that's awesome too. But we carry flags throughout the whole way. If you're in the village, if you're in the Wappinder's area and you want to just sit on one of the park benches and watch us go by, that's awesome too.
Absolutely. Truly, to have that community engagement like that. As you said, when people were just coming out of their houses and clapping, and when they were there at the end at the park, just really like, hey, there you guys are.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's fun. Yeah. And it does mean a lot. And of course, we'll have the links in the description of this episode for The Ruck. So if you want to learn more about the event, if you want to sign up, if you want to donate, we'll have that information for you. So that won't be a problem. Again, that's going to be Saturday, September 6th, starting at 9 o'clock, about 2 hours afterwards. And then people are just going to be hanging out, probably like a little tailgate afterwards, probably a little fun like that. So definitely want to check this out in the Wappinder's community. Alyssa, before we completely wrap this up, do you have any last little nugget you want to share with the Walsh Wednesday listening audience?
Clearly really wants to share a lot. So honestly, I just want to say thank you to everybody, because again, this wouldn't be possible without the community. My husband has been such a great part of this, and I'm so thankful for him. The Yonkers Fire Department, they play such a big part in it. They donate, they show up, they bring their friends, their kids, their spouses. They've been such a big help. They promoted around the house. Also, again, like my gym community, this would not continue to grow without them. They support it. They share it with their jobs, their friends, people like you, Con, just being willing to talk about it. And again, just thank you to the Wappinder town, you know, Joey, Elizabeth, mom, everybody. I'm so grateful just to see how this continues to grow. If it grows by 2 people each year, that's still such an accomplishment. And I'm so grateful for it. So I hope that it continues to grow. I hope it continues to reach people, to touch lives, and just we're able to support our veterans, our guardians, our community. Boots and Paws program is so great. And I just want to continue to support them.
Naturally. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Alyssa. Thank you for your vulnerability. thank you for your strength. Thank you for your emotion. And thank you for, you know, really bringing forth this legacy and having this celebration in the Wappingers community. So thank you again for being here. And thank you for your efforts each year in and out. So greatly appreciated. And of course, for all those out there, check out Rocky's Ruck happening September 6th. I'm Connor.
I'm Alyssa.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Dutchess Beer Distributors, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Tonka Williams on Aortic Health Awareness, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.